Welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast, your audio source for what's going on in the Chicago theater scene. This is the episode for August 24th, 2009, and on this episode, Tom Williams interviews Rebecca Finnegan from Cabaret at the Drury Lane Theater in Oak Brook. Also, we have Chicago's theater news for you, so get ready and let's talk theater.
This is Tom Williams, and you are listening to Talk Theater in Chicago's interview podcast. Our special guest this week is from the tremendous version of Cabaret that's now playing at Drury Lane Oak Brook. She is one of our great leading ladies in Chicago. Say hello to Rebecca Finnegan.
Hey.
Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, hello.
Tell us about Cabaret. It is one of the best productions of this show that I've seen.
Oh, that's so good to hear. You know, I've done the show before many years ago, and I played the MC.
Yes, which, you did. That was for Porchlight.
Yes, it was. It was. And I just remember always thinking how wonderful the Fraulein Schneider and Herr Schultz numbers were. And it's really so gratifying to be able to have matured into these types of roles now, because I've sort of born a character actress and have been waiting to get old enough to, you know, do that stuff.
I still don't think you're old enough for the role in some senses.
Oh, thank you.
You're underage for it.
Well, you know, Jim Cordy, the director, wanted to go with a slightly younger, you know, a younger Sally and a younger Cliff than you typically see. Because that's closer to the ages that they are in the Berlin stories. Mm-hmm. I think Sally is 19 or 18, and Cliff is maybe 20.
Oh, I didn't know they were that young.
Yeah, so he really wanted to get closer to the truth of the original stories with that. And also, I mean, you saw the show the other night.
Yes, I did. It's
quite a bit of a different take than the cabarets we've been seeing for the past few years after the big Broadway revival, you know, with all the black lingerie and the dark eyeliner and the,
This is more like the original, I believe.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
And talking to Jim Cordy, you know, he understudied Joel Grey.
Yes.
On one of the first tours. So that's going back a while.
Yeah.
And he said he wanted to capture the real essence of the show. That's why they didn't cut some of the songs. You know, a lot of productions, I believe your production cut the Miska song and I think one of the other songs.
Well, and actually, I think, as I remember it, we did do the Miska song.
Okay.
Yeah, they cut Don't Go.
Okay, because I know there's always cuts because they feel it's long. But, you know, great theater can. My Fair Lady is almost 2 hours the first act. You know,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we have a very long first act, but I think it goes by pretty quickly because number after number after number after number.
Yeah.
And the girls and the boys, the dancers, are dancing their faces off.
Oh, they're fantastic.
And the costume changes. So, if you're like me and you like a lavish, beautiful production, you're going to love this because they don't, again, like I said before, they don't stay in the black underwear the whole time. There's feathers and sparkles and bangles and headdresses.
Yeah, a lot of 20, real 20s flavor to it because it's set in 1930, which is, you know, right, the same era.
Mm-hmm, right. I think it's like 29 to 30.
Yeah,
going right there. And Jim Cordy really wanted to capture what was actually going on in those cabaret clubs in Berlin at that time. And it was escapism. It was, you know, like the glorious movies of the 30s in the United States during our depression. It was dresses and, you know, eyelashes and pretty and glamour. So there's a lot of glamour in this production.
Yeah, there sure is.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to talk about your character because in many productions, your character, the Fraulein Schneider, is played as almost in the way. You know, as I said to Jim Cordy, almost a throwaway character.
Yeah.
She has to. You know, she sings, but it isn't that big a story. But you guys really made it a central part of the story.
Well, that's J- Jim Cordy, and I have beautiful David Lively on stage with me.
He's fantastic.
Which doesn't hurt.
No, I have one of the better classical actors in town.
Yeah, he's been lovely. Jim was very, very specific. Jim sat on my head. Let's just say it. He sat on my head about this character, and he was right. His theory about this character, because the character in the Berlin stories is a very minor character. She's just a landlady. And Jim thinks, and this is a pet theory of his, that when the producers of the original Broadway production found out they got Lotta Lenya, they decided to make it a bigger story. But that's his theory. But
I've read that before too. I tend to agree with him on that.
Yeah, yeah.
You got a star, you got to use her.
Yeah, I mean, because that character has a lot of material in the show. You know, she has two solos, she has two duets. I think she's really representative of the people in Germany who were not Nazis, and who had just been so beaten down by all the economic strife and the upheaval and the war. She, her whole monologue, war, revolution, inflation. You know, I think she is representative of the people in Germany who were just ground under.
Yeah, and there were survivors. They,
mm-hmm.
In a way, they were sort of amoral.
Yes.
I mean, surviving is what counts.
Yes, absolutely. But I think once I kind of feel, especially for her, that when you get to be a certain age and you've been through so much, you just sort of let it wash over you.
Yeah.
You know, and she's, her whole final song is, you know, what would you do?
Well, how about your it's actually after the intro, you know, after the Velkommen, which is one of the great opening numbers in the history of Broadway.
Yeah, great number.
And they really nailed it.
Yes. Isn't Patrick wonderful?
Oh, well, I've seen him before. You know, he's grown into the roles. And when I saw he was cast in the show, I said, good for you, Jim Cordy. This kid is terrific.
Yeah.
And, you know, Jim didn't know what a great dancer he was.
He's fantastic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, he came up as a dancer, you know, so he's. But, yeah, he nailed it. And then you set the tone for the whole show with that brilliant So What number.
Well, I got to thank Jim Cordy. He sat on me because I sort of view myself as a comedian, and I love being given the opportunity to do like rich dramatic roles like this. He really sat on me and made me pare away a lot of that musical theater comedy stuff that, you know, is my background and my training, to really get it down to that sort of, I feel my character is kind of slightly in a different play, because she's very Brechtian. She's very right out to the audience. A lot of the times I'm in a pool of light separated from the other characters.
Yeah. It's almost like a mini opera going on.
Yes. But then the dancing girls come in, you
yeah.
know.
But I mean, the So What, it's so emotional. Boy, did you nail it.
What? Thank you. That's a hard, hard number.
Well, you showed your pipes there. I mean, you really belted it in this best Broadway tradition, but carried the emotion of it.
Thank you. That's one of those songs that's very repetitive. You know, it just keeps going. There's not a lot of notes in it, you know. There's not a lot of, like, look, I can sing kind of thing. It's really it's a mini landscape of her life. And going back to how she deals with it by going, what does it matter? There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah. Yeah, but you did, you know, the few little comic scenes you had with the girl who's the prostitute staying with you.
Christine Sherrill.
Now, see, your comedy sense came out of there.
You know what, though? That's Christine Sherrill.
Well, she's another top pro.
Oh, my God. And you know what? There was something interesting. When we started getting into previews, you know, it's so new when you have an audience. And, you know, I'm on stage. And, again, I view myself as primarily like a comedian, a musical comedian. And when I'm on stage with David, I'm on stage with Christine. And I said this to Christine the other day. And they're getting all these laughs. And I'm like, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? So I was trying a couple and, like, you know, sort of like working it through in the previews, and it just wasn't working. And I finally went backstage one day, because Christine and I shared a dressing room, and I said, Girl, I am so sorry. I have been letting the air out of those scenes because I've been thinking that I'm not landing the jokes I'm supposed to be landing, but I'm the straight woman. You know, I'm there so she can get her laughs, which she does brilliantly.
Yeah, she
without
does.
Any
yeah,
help
you do
from
set,
me at all.
Right, you do set her up with those. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting new thing that I'm doing. And since I realize that it's not that I'm not doing my job, it's that my job is a different job than I'm used to doing. It's just been a joy. And she's a delight, not only to be on stage with, but to be backstage with. So we're having a good time.
Yeah, that, a lot of people realize that it's the intangibles of how well people get along on stage. And I think a lot of that has to do, again, with the director and with the ethic in Chicago, how... Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, it's all about the work here.
Right.
Yeah. We don't have prima donnas, or at least not too many, like New York and sometimes L.A. can have those problems.
Well, we all just, I don't know if it's because we're a little more Midwestern, but, you know, Jim Weitzer is from New York, and he's an absolute doll. He's just been so cool and so easygoing and so lovely, which I know can sometimes not be the case, but we've been extremely lucky, you know.
Well, everybody speaks highly of Jim and creatively. I mean, look at the casting he did, you know. He took a chance on a few new people,
yeah.
But it all worked out. I think the casting was terrific.
Yeah, I think, he did. And I think it's a testament to Bill and all those guys out at Drury Lane that they're sort of trusting and letting Jim and Cordy take those sort of casting risks instead of staying in a very safe place. They really trusted him and said, we trust you. Go ahead, do what you're going to do.
Well, that's the influence of Kyle DeSantis.
Kyle
told me back, I got one of the first interviews with him when he took over. And he said he really wants to create great art. Sure, he wants to build the business up. But he said, I realize that means bringing in top people, you know, the top directors, set designers, mm-hmm. and so forth, and then trusting them.
Yes. Yes. And Kyle has been so supportive, and he's been there so much. I mean, the whole staff at Drury Lane has been behind this 100%. So... it's a testament to their trusting in Jim Cordy and trusting in new people that haven't worked there before and bringing in old pros that have also been there before. They did the all the groundwork. Brian Bembridge's set is eye-popping.
It sure is.
Isn't it fabulous?
Oh, the way you see the Fraulein's boarding house, and then 2 seconds later, you see the same basic set as the Kit Kat Club,
yep,
or the train, or wherever it's at.
And that's our lighting designer, who did a fantastic job.
Yeah, yeah.
And also the costumes by Tatiana out there at Oakbrook, and she's just a sweetheart and so kind and so, you know, collaborative with the actresses and actors. How do you feel about this? You know, and that really, really helps somebody build their character and feel comfortable in their skin on stage.
Yeah, yeah. And again, bringing in a few new faces. Well, you're a new face when it comes to Drury Lane Oakbrook.
Yeah, I'm kind of the new kid in town a little bit as far as like the larger equity houses go.
Yeah, but I think this is a breakthrough role for you. I think this is going to help you get a few others.
Oh, thank you. It's just been... And again, I have to hats off and thanks to Oakbrook and to Jim Cordy for giving me a chance, because let me tell you, I walked into the audition for this and I thought, oh, no way. Not with all these talented women here. There's no way. And then when I got the call, I was so thrilled. So thrilled.
Yeah. Well, Jim is known for that. He'll take chances on new, or he sees something.
Yeah.
And I know I've talked to directors, on the side, and in some interviews, I said, how do you end up picking that person? And they'll say, I don't know. They were all great. Just something spoke to me with that person,
yeah.
And I just knew it.
Yeah.
You know, they all say that. They can't kind of define it. Well, that's cool. Wouldn't you love to know what that is?
Right, exactly. Bottle that.
But I think the two young kids, Zara Mailer and Jim Wetzler, did a terrific job.
Yeah. They're lovely. It's nice to see that younger sort of energy on stage.
Yeah, and I thought they nailed it. She nailed the big cabaret number, the big number in Act Two.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she didn't imitate Liza Minnelli, which is a trap some singers get into.
Right.
You know, she really made it her own and got the emotion of it.
Yeah. That, again, Jim Cordy, I'm telling you, he worked with her intensely on that number. So it's a, you know, what you're seeing up there is his vision, you know?
Well, the entire show is his vision. And,
yes.
And to those of us who've been around long enough to have seen some of the early versions, and this is very much true closer to the original versions.
Because
remember, the film, unfortunately, influenced too many stage productions of the show, trying to make it the film.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's because they feel that that's what their audience is expecting, you know?
Yeah, I think their audience is, the Jim challenged them to expect a darker show, a more emotional, a more powerful show.
Which is interesting because the look of the show is much lighter. The costumes, you know, but the emotional impact of it, I think, lands and resonates a little more strongly because you haven't been seeing black eyeliner. You haven't been seeing black clothing. People haven't been leering at you the whole time. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah.
It sort of lulls you into a false sense of security. And Brandon Dahlquist is just really dynamite as Ernst,
yeah,
the young Nazi.
Well, I've liked Brandon for a long time. Yeah, he's a major talent.
Yeah. He's a young up-and-comer, definitely, yes, definitely.
But you're right. It changes tone nicely because if you think about it, the film sort of did that because when they would cut back to the Kit Kat Club, they were always most of the songs comment on the story and the emotion of the story.
Yeah.
And the way they brilliantly did it on stage in this production, a lot of it has to do with the lighting and costume.
Yeah.
To change the tone. But see, a lot of it's to you and David Lively in presenting the dramatic, those dramatic scenes. Because Jim told me, and I agree with him, it's so underplayed, the Jewish versus the German, and how you really love them, you'd love to be together with them, but the fear.
Yeah.
That undertone the whole era. We all knew what was going to happen after that.
Yeah.
So you guys really, you know, as dramatic actors, played that nicely and effectively.
Thank you so much.
So that's a big departure, right?
Oof, yeah.
Well, besides singing some of the songs, I mean, you actually get scenes that are well, pretty high drama. They could work in you know, a court theater or anywhere.
Oh, good. Nice to hear.
Well, you got to be very satisfied with this production. It's at Drury Lane Oak, a little commercial for it.
Yeah.
and it's running through
the middle of October.
Middle of October,
yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and folks, you've got to see. If you've never seen Cabaret, you got to get out there and see this production. And you know what's one of the brilliant things is, you know, the top ticket for your show on a Saturday night is $38?
I know.
Isn't that... And that actually, he had to, because of cost, move it up a couple bucks. But that is, Drury Lane Oakbrook is probably the best bargain for musical theater in the Midwest.
I completely agree. I mean, it's a lavish production.
Yeah, all full of equity. I don't know how many equity contracts. Looks like 10, 12 or whatever.
Ooh.
Pretty big, yeah.
I mean, in my dressing room alone, there are four.
Yeah. I'm looking at the program here, and they've got the little asterisk. It's almost the whole list, and your cast is like over 20.
Yeah, it's a big cast.
Yeah,
big show.
And what Doug Peck did with the music, isn't he a genius?
Doug Peck, besides being a dear friend of mine, is unbelievably intelligent, kind, talented. I can't say enough about how much I love working with him. And every time I go see a show of his, the orchestrations are perfect.
Aren't they, yeah?
And in this particular production, there's a lot of humor in the orchestrations.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Just like, you know, sly, sort of very canny, understated. But if you're a music lover and you have any kind of understanding or love for the music of this period, he nailed it.
Yeah.
He nailed it.
It's got a real 20s feel to it. Mm-hmm. Plus, it's got a little, lots of it's got sort of a German folksy feel, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And he, you know, he just had developed such a connection to not only the music he's working with, but the individual performers that are going to be doing the music.
That's what I hear from a lot of people tell me, that he really helps you do the music behind you that enhances your singing.
Absolutely, because he has such a tender heart that he's very receptive to and picks up on, like, slight variations and differences in people's temperament and in their voices. And he wants everyone to sound their best. You know, it's not, this is the music, sing it. If you can't, it's just because you can't. It's, I'm going to help you sing this because I want you to sound wonderful.
And that seems to be a rare talent, because you're not the only one who's pointed out about what Doug does with the music. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm one of many, many fans.
Yeah. Well, he's so this is I think a world class production.
Good.
And I know Drury Lane Oakbrook has a very successful subscription audience, and that's of course what keeps the ticket price down. If it didn't, this is the kind of show that could run a year.
Oh.
Yeah. And who knows? Knock on wood. I was kidding, Kyle. I said, "Well, if you don't fill up downtown," I said, "you ought to think about bringing this show, you know, when the run is over, bringing it downtown." I don't think you'd get any complaints on any of the people in the cast.
Let's do it.
But because it's, you know, it's a West Suburban show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a dark, powerful show, but it's still family friendly. I think, you know, maybe not 10, 12-year-old, but I think you can take teens to this show. I think they'd love it.
Yeah, it's not dirty.
No.
You know,
it's a little sexy, but, you know, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we have all the preview audiences, and there are a lot of their core sort of subscribers come to those. And they, of course, fill out comment cards. Nobody was offended. Nobody felt it was over the top. It was, you know, it's done in a respectful way.
Yeah, well, and very, and of course, technically classy. I mean, it's...
Yes, and when anything is done artfully and there's an intent behind it other than to be, like, dirty, people are intelligent, and they pick up on that.
Well, particularly, it was a foreshadowing of some very powerful world events.
Oh, sure. And in the research Jim did about that era in Germany, it was crazy.
Oh, yeah. They were fighting the communists. Everybody was fighting everybody. It was,
But the sex in the streets and the prostitution, I mean, that goes on now, but this was just this concentrated insanity, because nobody had any money and everything was unsettled. And he did a lot of research about it, you know, and what we bring you on stage isn't even a shade on what was really happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You sort of hint at it here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Which, again, is done in good taste. Well, congratulations on this. And I really think that you guys are going to get a lot more accolades. I know Hedy Weiss highly recommended it. My review's coming out soon.
Wonderful.
And I believe everybody I've talked to just raved on it.
So
congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Now let's talk a little bit about your career.
Okay.
Tell us how you got started. You got to mention your 4 awards.
So
tell us how you got started. I know you were one of Walter Stern's of at Porchlight.
Yes, and Walter is somebody like Jim Cordy who gives people a chance. You know, sees somebody young, talent, somebody new that, you know, nobody knows who they are and sees something in them. And, you know, I did my first production in Chicago with Porchlight. It was Cabaret. No, it wasn't. It was Company.
Yeah, I remember you in Company.
Yeah.
Well, that's a marvelous. And I keep telling Walter, he's got to do Company again.
Oh, it was a great show.
Been a long time.
Yeah. That was years ago, but did Company with them, and then we did Cabaret, and I played the MC. We did Sweeney Todd, which is my absolute dream role.
And well, didn't you win an award for that?
I did. I got a Jeff Award for that.
And I remember that was Porchlight's first equity production.
Yes.
And I remember Hedy Weiss saying you were born to play Mrs. Lovett.
That, yeah.
What a compliment, huh?
A real compliment.
And you were fabulous.
Thank you. But, and that's the role and the show that even got me interested in pursuing theater was that particular show. Because I came up sort of in the 80s. I went to a performing arts school in Cincinnati, School for Creative Performing Arts. And sort of the musicals that were kind of happening at that time didn't resonate with me too strongly. And I knew I liked to perform, and I knew I liked to be funny. And we did the melodrama version of Sweeney Todd as part of our acting classes, and I got to play Mrs. Lovett, and we watched the Broadway production of the musical, and I just was hooked from then on.
Did you see it with Angela Lansbury?
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that awesome?
She's untouchable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what you did with it was just amazing.
Thank you.
And you had a great supporting cast, too.
Oh, my gosh. Michael Lindner.
Was he
it's
great
his birthday today. Happy birthday, Michael Lindner.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah. Michael Lindner, Peter Polhammer. Oh, my gosh. It's so many years ago, but everybody in that cast.
The staging Walter did on that small East stage in the theater building was kind of amazing too.
Yeah.
It proved that you don't have to overproduce these shows.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's, Porchlight does that so beautifully.
Yes, they do. And what did you do after that? Now, we got a couple more awards to go over here.
We did Closer Than Ever.
Okay.
With Rob Lindley, who's also in.
Right. He's in drag in this show.
Yes, he is. He's fabulous.
Right.
And Holly Stouter, who's also in Cabaret.
Right.
Nick Foster and Roger Anderson. And I won a Jeff for that as well. So I actually was blown over. I wasn't even Equity then. And I won two Jeffs at that particular ceremony.
Yeah, that was, and that's unheard of. It really is. That's a major achievement.
I couldn't believe it.
They're giving you the hint. Better join the union, huh?
Well, yes. Well, yeah, that's actually what sort of gave me the confidence to go ahead and quit my day job. So then what did I do? Gosh, I should have my resume here. You could ask my boyfriend. He'll be able to tell you. I did Closer Than Ever. I did a Cole Porter review at Light Opera Works.
Right.
I did
Seussical
and Three Musketeers at Chicago Shakes.
You did stuff at Light Opera?
Yeah, just the one. It was a Cole Porter review.
The Cole Porter review.
Yeah.
I like that show.
Good. I got a nomination for that, which I was surprised.
That was challenging because it wasn't Cole Porter's, most popular song. There were some of the tough songs to do.
It was the B-sides, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was really an interesting sort of evening of, but she'd never heard this song, and it was very hard to do, and I was so surprised to get a nomination for that because I didn't think, I was particularly poopy, hoops, scootily in that.
Well, it was tough to do, and you nailed some really hard songs.
Thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, it was. Oh, I like the show, but it was definitely tough. And you did, you worked at the Goodman, too.
I did, but I forgot I did Gypsy with Porchlight. That was.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who could forget that?
Yeah, no. I'm trying to remember all this stuff. That was a wonderful opportunity, and unfortunately, I got laryngitis the last weekend.
Oh, did you?
Oh, God, it was awful.
Oh, my God.
It was awful, awful, awful.
And no understudy.
No understudy.
So you had to go on, huh?
Yeah. Mostly because it was their final weekend, and I think there was another understudy going in, and their family was in town, and we would have had to cancel the show. I felt so bad. And my mom and aunt were in town because the Jeff Awards were that weekend, and I was supposed to perform at the Jeff Awards, and I had to cancel on that. Ugh.
But you finished the run, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, that's
barely, but holding on with my fingernails.
Ooh, boy.
Let's see. I did Seussical and Three Musketeers at Chicago Shakes, which is a beautiful theater.
Yeah.
Lovely people. Turn of the Century with Tommy Toon.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't like that show.
I think
there were some good parts to it.
Well, you know what I think it is? There were such high expectations.
Yeah.
And we were sincerely, they were working on that so hard. You know, they were trying to get this thing into shape, and then we got rewrites and rewrites and rewrites and re-choreography, and I am not
dancer. You know, right. Some of that stuff, though, was attacks on Tommy Toon and attack the Goodman because, you know, they can. Everyone expects because they have big budgets and everything that everything's going to go perfect. But I thought the Chicago cat that you and Kevin Goodall was terrific.
Well, Rachel York, fantastic.
Yeah, she was very good, yeah.
You know, and Jeff.
That show will come back.
I hope so. They worked really, fantastic writers, you know.
And that's always fun to be involved with a new show. It's got to be tough, though, as with all the rewrites and changes, right?
It was a lot of work.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was everybody. Tommy Toon was working really hard. Rick Ellick and, my brain is not working today, but the writing team was writing. We would be rehearsing, and they were sitting in a room writing.
Wow.
The orchestrator and the choreographer, everybody worked so hard on that show. And, you know, maybe it wasn't finished. You know, and certainly people can criticize as much as they want. I feel that it was a little let's all take a swipe at the pinata, you know.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was entertaining.
Good.
Well, in the remaining time we have, tell us some of the roles, you know, like what your future plans are, some of the roles you'd love to play.
Okay. I would love to do a production of Sunset Boulevard.
Mm. Played Norma.
Yes.
Yeah.
I would love that. You know, I don't know. And I have to say, it kind of goes back to, in my mind, Mrs. Lovett was always the role that I just wanted to play.
So you would play it again if asked.
In a heartbeat.
Well, you know, it's due. I would say in the next couple of years it's going to be due at either like Drury Lane or Marriott or Theater at the Center, someplace like that.
Well, and you know, also, see, the thing is, because in the past few years, like, I've put on weight and I've gotten older, and I am in a place now where I haven't thought about the roles that I'm right for now, really. So I gotta sort of like see who's auditioning for what and go out, and they, you know, sort of the choices that the casting people and directors make sort of inform me, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thank you.
I predict that Cabaret, and you certainly could be on the radar. We'll see what the Jeff Committee thinks.
Thanks for
a great show. And folks, make sure you get out to see Cabaret at Drury Lane Oak Brook. You will be amazed at how good that is. And folks, go see a play this week.
Hello, Chicago, and welcome to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin Moat, bringing you the theater news for the week of August 24th, 2009. A Red Orchid Theater opens its 2009-2010 season with the world premiere of Mistakes Were Made. The production will run September 8th through October 18th at the Red Orchid. Mistakes Were Made is by the Emmy-nominated writer of 6 Feet Under, Craig Wright, and directed by Dexter Bullard. This electrifying performance will mark a Red Orchid Theater's co-founder Michael Shannon's first appearance since his supporting actor nomination for the film Revolutionary Road. It also features ensemble member Mirka Gerton, who was star of last year's critical smash hit, With or Without Wings. For more information on Mistakes Were Made, click on over to Theater in Chicago's Theater News section. The smash hit musical based on the songs of ABBA returns to Chicago with performances beginning on January 19th of 2010 at the Rosemont Theater. Mamma Mia has been seen by over 40 million people worldwide and is celebrating 7 sold-out years at the Winter Garden Theater on Broadway. It is currently playing a record-breaking engagement on its national tour here in the United States. Mamma Mia features ABBA songs such as Dancing Queen, Money, 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 and Take a Chance on Me. Mamma Mia is the story of a celebration of mothers and daughters, old friends, and new family that's been found. Tickets for the performances go on sale Friday, December 4th at 10 a.m. For more information and more details about Mamma Mia, click on over to theaterinchicago.com. Northlight Theater will open its 35th season with the hit musical The Marvelous Wonderettes. This Chicago premiere runs September 17th through October 25th at the Northlight Theater in Skokie. When the entertainment doesn't show up for the class of 1958's prom, the Wonderettes step in to save the day with the hits from the 50s and 60s, including favorites such as It's My Party, Mr. Sandman, and Dream Lover. Writer and director Roger Bean was inspired by his mother to take people back to a time when hopes and dreams were wide-eyed and just a little bit simpler. Tickets for The Marvelous Wonderettes are currently available. For prices and information, click on over to theaterinchicago.com. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago News Podcast. Remember, you can find us here every Monday with more news ready for you to enjoy. So, until next Monday, that is the theater news from Talk Theater in Chicago, and I'm your host, Dustin Moat. Thank you for listening to the Talk Theater in Chicago podcast. I would like to thank Rebecca Finnegan for giving us the honor of interviewing her this week. I would also like to thank Tom Williams and Mark Meyer. Without them, this podcast would not be possible. And I would also like to thank you, our listening audience. Remember, we will be here every Monday with a new episode ready for your listening pleasure. So, until next Monday, I'm your host, Dustin Moat, reminding you, Chicago, to keep talking theater.